for this week. I decided we'll go with the lectionary passages so that I don't keep preaching on my favorite ones over and over again. And it'll stretch you a little bit, stretch me a little bit. I don't know what your first reactions were to hearing that parable, particularly the ending, but it wasn't a warm, fuzzy feeling. The slave gets thrown into jail to be tortured. And then Jesus says, "So my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart." Yeah, cold chills, not the warm fuzzies. I need a blanket. Right? This is a challenging passage from the get-go. Right? Forgiveness can be such a hard thing. I mentioned that to my friend, and I said, "No, forgiveness is easy. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't think they're like a regular human being, because forgiveness for so many people is a hard thing." You know, context is important. If you've ever tried to listen to the Hamilton soundtrack on shuffle, you understand how important it is to read, get things in order, right? So especially anytime we read a passage, it's important to get a little bit before and a little bit after. So this passage begins with Peter asking a question. Like so often happens, Peter feels, you know, big. He's got this, you know, he's getting it, right? It's clicking. And so he wants some feedback. And so he asks a question of Jesus. And then Jesus is like, "No, dude, Pete, you tried, but no." Right? How many times do I have to forgive my brother or sister? Seven times? And seven's a good number, right? How many days did God create the world? Seven, right? Six, and then on the seventh day, God rested. Seven is a good number. That's a holy number. That's a complete number. God created everything in 7 days. Surely if I forgive my brother or sister seven times, that's good, right? And she's like, nah, man. Not seven times, 70 seven times, 70 times seven, depending on the translation. You got to go so far above and beyond. And then even in the parable, that theme continues, this extraordinary everything. 77 times is a huge number. But the forgiveness that Jesus is talking about doesn't just come out of the blue. The passage right before this, Jesus is very specific. If another member of the church sins against you, so another member of the church. So we're not talking about everybody. We're not talking about the whole world. We're talking about your family, your community of faith, your church folks, your brothers and sisters in your faith community. If they sin against you, go and point that out to them alone. Talk to them in private. Speak with them. Let them know that they've wronged you. You know, I think a lot of times when we have something that has wronged us, occasionally, sometimes, maybe even oftentimes, I know I went through the whole list there, that person doesn't necessarily even know. Go and speak to them. Air your grievances. Let them know that you've been wronged, that you've been hurt. And if they listen to you, you've regained that person. And if they don't listen, they deny it, they don't understand what had happened, they tell you you're being soft and a snowflake or something like that, take one or two other people. Take some witnesses so that the whole count will have evidence and they'll get your backup. You'll have your backup. If the member refuses to listen to them, then tell it to the church. Take it in front of the entire community of faith. Let it be known that this wrong has been made, that you've sought reconciliation and you still need help. And if one person still refuses to listen, even to the church, let such a one be to you as Gentiles and tax collectors. Remember, the Gentiles and tax collectors, that just meant they weren't in the group. They were outsiders. They sort of forfeited their membership by failing to come to an agreement. But then also, we have to remember throughout the entire gospel, Jesus is kind of buddying up to tax collectors and Gentiles, doesn't he? So even to say, make them as tax collectors and Gentiles in your presence doesn't mean you cut them off and you ostracize them, because those were the same very people that Jesus welcomed. Let them be to you as Gentiles or tax collectors. Start over. Invite them back in. Make sure that they know what this community of faith is all about. Put them back in the membership class. Let them get to going. So Peter said, that's pretty good. That's a long process. How many times? Like 7 times? That's a lot. No, so much more than that. And then Jesus tells this parable of a king settling his accounts with his slaves. And the first slave, he owes this astronomical amount of money. It doesn't really do much to worry about the translation amounts and inflation and all that stuff. But suffice to say, this was like Jeff Bezos money. This was a huge, huge amount of money. A talent, the note says, was about 15 years' wages. 10,000 times 15 years. That's a long time to save your money and to be in debt. He's like, sell him. It's a big money. He's not going to be able to pay me back. Sell this guy. We need his money. Now, you know what? That's so much. Sell him, his wife, his kids, and all of his possessions. Probably not going to make our money back, but let's get, you know, what we can. Cut our losses. That's an understandable. That's allowable by the law. Even if it's excessive to do such a thing, this debt is so excessive, that it makes sense. It's on par. But the slave falls down on his knees, says, forgive me. Please forgive me. I'll pay you back. He's not going to pay him back. Pay me back. He begs. And then another excessive amount of forgiveness. The king says, he has pity on him, and he says, all right. You're released from your debt. Go be good. You're free. And then the passage switches from focusing on the king to focusing back on that slave. And what I was struck by was this is not a week later. This isn't after even a bathroom break. I want to make sure I get it right. As he went out, like immediately, he's just been forgiven this astronomical debt. And as he's going out, like it's like the next guy coming in to talk to the king, he seizes him by the throat. Another excessive reaction. People in this parable had anger issues or something. This is excessive. He grabs him by the throat. You owe me 100 denarii. Again, the exchange rate's not all that important, but that's like a day's wage. So not 100 days worth of money. Not pocket change, but not an astronomical amount. You can come up with that. I don't have it. I can't pay you right now, but have patience with me. I'm going to pay you back. Throw him in jail until I have it. Right? It's not like he's got to collect his debts because he's got to pay off his debt. He's just been forgiven. What is going on? Why is this? It makes no sense. And then his fellow slaves that watch all this, they go back to the master. And they let the master know what's taking place. Hey, you remember that guy who just forgave like all that money? Well, he threw another guy in jail for chump change. So the king brings him back in. You wicked slave. I forgave all that debt because you pleaded with me. And here's this fellow slave of yours asking for the same thing. And you can't reciprocate it. So then his punishment, I don't know. I've never been tortured, which, you know, that's a good thing. But I don't want to be, right? His punishment afterwards is so much more than before. He was already a slave. And his debt is reinstated, and he's thrown in jail to be tortured until he can pay it off. We've already established he's not going to pay it off. And then Jesus ends with this wonderful line, so my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart. And so when I get there, I have to wonder, what am I going to do with that? I think I said in my article Friday, it's a good thing Scripture doesn't exist for me to like it, but for me to struggle with it. Because I like God with a smile on God's face, right? I'm not a horrible person. I'm pretty great. I'm not perfect, but I'm not horrible either, right? So I like to think of God looking down on me and, you know, putting a smile on his face. I like to think of God generally being pretty happy with who I am and what I've done and where I'm at and how humble I am. It's okay. It's okay. I like to think of God forgiving my sins. I like to think of Paul writing that nothing can separate us from God's love and from God's grace. And then Paul gives that entire list that's supposed to be all-encompassing of everything in this world, everything in heaven and earth, kings, rulers. Nothing can separate us from God's love. But we already prayed it once today. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those that trespass against us. God, use my forgiveness of other people as the template to how you forgive me. So maybe my friend was right. Maybe forgiveness is that easy. Because God makes it look so easy. God is able to forgive so much. God is able to bring us back into right relationship. Right, the words of this parable, the metaphor is settling accounts. Zeroing out the balance. Reconciling the account. God brings us back into right relationship with God's self. Separate us from God. God wipes them out. And our friends and our family and the community of faith, there are things that we do to each other that separate us from one another. There are things that we do that make being in relationship with one another difficult. But if God can forgive such an astronomical debt, we ought to at least work on it. I think the other thing that I got from this is that with that idea of this astronomical debt, are there things that I believe are so sinful that it would be impossible for me to forgive? And then do I really believe that even those things God is capable of forgiving? It's a good thing I'm not God, because God does amazing things. And God forgives things that I could never forgive. But forgiveness doesn't mean everything going back to the way it was. Forgiveness doesn't mean forgetting what had happened. Forgiveness doesn't mean opening yourself up to be hurt again. Forgiveness means letting go. As we talked about in Sunday school, forgiveness means not letting that sin torture you. It means removing its power from you. This person that has wronged you, if we hold on to it and forgive and refuse to forgive, that holds power over us. And we're incapable of being in any sort of relationship with those around us. So when we forgive, and I don't mean to talk about it like it's an easy thing, like it's just an afternoon. We're just going to go home and forgive. Take some work. It's a 3-step process. It's hard. But it's worth our time. Because we're called to be different than the world around us. The world outside these walls is so easy, so eager to hold on to your mistakes. You start getting famous and somebody finds a tweet from 10 years ago. I don't even know if Twitter was around 10 years ago. Right? We bring up stuff. We bury it down. We put it in a file for later. We don't forgive. But God calls us in this place to be different. God calls us to forgive. Because God forgives us. It's not easy. But I think it's important that we strive to do it. Let's give it a shot. Amen.